what's confusing to me is, as in a society, it's like, you know, we have certain animals that we hold treasure and hold so dear, you know, my dogs, my cats. Yeah. How do you justify, well, these ones are domesticated and we love them, but these ones are for food? Like, would you not say, you look at the, you know, the feast in China where they kill dogs, you know, people are in an uproar about that, but you'll have no problem killing young cows or pigs, which are actually more intelligent than dogs. It's confusing to me.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. This is Bananas, and this episode is brought to you by Fitbod, the number one fitness app out there. Fitbod allows you to customize your workout. It takes into consideration what equipment's available to you, what type of workouts that you want to do, whether you want to do upper body, lower body, if you want to do strength building, bodybuilding, whatever it is. It's a great app to help you stay fit in the gym. I've been using it for a while, loving the results I'm seeing. I can go back and I can see all of my workouts as it keeps a log of everything that I do over time. It also tells you which muscles it recommends that you work out, because it does consider which muscles get fatigued. So if you did chest yesterday, it's not going to recommend a chest workout to you the next day. Check them out at fitbod.me/bananiac, fitbod.me/bananiac. You guys not only get a sweet discount when you use the link, but also a free trial. That way you guys can try before you sign up. If you guys are looking for simple vegan recipes, well, head on over to bananiac.com. Download my ebook. I feature 25 of some of the most simple vegan recipes that you can make that are healthy and taste really good. So if you're looking at getting started with the whole vegan lifestyle, if you need a place to start and want to start creating amazing food in the kitchen, you guys can find that at bananiac.com. Appreciate everyone who has downloaded the recipe book and have been giving me your guys' feedback. I really appreciate it. That way I know that those recipes actually taste as good as I think they do, and also gives me feedback for a next book if I do end up writing one, that is. On the website, bananiac.com, you guys can also click on the Amazon banner, which takes you to amazon.com, allows you to do all your shopping. It doesn't charge you a single penny more than what you would pay for, but it does give this podcast a little bit of a kickback and keep it going. You guys help support this show. You guys are the ones that make it happen. And I'm just producing content that I would want to listen to. There's a million vegan podcasts out there, all pretty much doing the same thing. I'm trying to provide a unique setting here, which you guys can visit and get content like nowhere else before. The guests that I feature are my heroes. I'm basically talking to my heroes, and I'm so honored to be able to talk with these people, especially about veganism and all the positive topics that we cover. And so without you guys, this would be nothing. And I really appreciate all of the positive feedback that you guys have been leaving on Apple Podcasts, because if there's one thing that I could ask you guys to do out of all the other things, is to head on over to Apple Podcasts on This Is Bananas landing page and give it a 5-star rating. What that does is it tells iTunes to push the podcast to more people and ultimately help people make positive changes in their life. So today's guest is one of those fantastic people that I was mentioning. I'm speaking with none other than Christian McCullany from a band called Amberlin, which you guys may have heard of. He's also in another band called Acceptance, which was the first band that he started in before Amberlin, as well as Loose Talk, a newer band that he has formed with some of the other members from Amberlin. And Christian has been such a huge inspiration for me growing up as a high school kid, listening to his music, having his poster on my walls. And I met Christian in the past briefly, and I talked to him about veganism with the very little time that I had. And I'm so glad that we worked it out and I got him on the podcast, because he's a very passionate person about it. He does mention that he has been vegan on and off, but he is still, regardless, passionate about this lifestyle, whether it's the health aspects of things or the ethical side of things, or even the sustainability and the environmental aspects. Christian is a huge advocate for this lifestyle, and I'm so glad that he has been doing it for so long, and it shows. The benefits clearly show. So basically, I happened to be in Florida during a time when he was playing a show with Steven Christian, the lead singer from Amberlin. They were doing a little acoustic show in this little club in Tampa. I'd never been to Tampa, and I was like, oh my God, they're playing? Heck yeah, sign me up. Let's go to the show. And what? Meet Christian and talk to him about veganism? Okay. This is a no-brainer. So it happened, and we got into some good stuff. We talked about, like I said, veganism. We talked a little bit about Christianity, because that is a huge part about who those guys are from Amberlin and music that they write, as well as connecting it back to veganism and how Christianity plays a role in that, or vice versa. And we talked about how he got into music and some other cool topics. So if you guys are a fan of Amberlin, Acceptance, Loose Talk, then you're really going to enjoy this episode. That's enough talking from me. Here is Christian McCullany.
Got it. Sweet.
Got it.
All right. So I'm here with Christian McCullany.
Yep,
right? McCullany. Yeah. Yep. From Amberlin, from Acceptance, from Loose Talk.
Yes, sir.
So, dude, thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, pleasure.
Glad it worked out.
Yeah, for sure. I'm an actual fan. So, like, having you on, like, it's just, like, I got goosebumps on me right now.
That's
so
awesome.
Super
it.
Thankful to have you on the show. We were talking before how you're from Tampa. I was just curious, how vegan friendly would you say, like, Tampa is? Or you're from, like, the surrounding area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm originally from Seattle. I've been living in Tampa Bay for about 8 years now. I mean, comparatively, I'm from the West Coast, so we're pretty, like, I moved here from California. So
right.
Comparatively, I wouldn't say it's as progressive as a California or even a Washington State,
right.
Obviously Seattle. But there are a lot of great vegan options in the Tampa Bay area and St. Pete. I mean, I never want for anything. So I usually cook at home, but if I want to go out with my wife,
sure.
There's plenty of places to go. And even if it's not necessarily a vegan, branded restaurant, you can get most places you can survive, you know what I mean?
That's the beauty of this time now. It's like more restaurants that are not vegan are actually having vegan options, mm-hmm. which I think is even more amazing.
Yep.
I want to ask you straight off the bat. I mean, I've heard stuff online and sometimes they're not true or
right.
whatever. Are you vegan or vegetarian?
So my story is I went vegan when I was like probably about 15. Because I was really into like the hardcore scene,
sure.
and like a big back then in like the early mid 90s, vegan straight edge was like a big deal,
totally.
And like I was really influenced by that. So I went vegan, but my parents were a little concerned about that, so they took me to a doctor, and he was like, "Look, son," he's like, "you're young, you're still growing." He's like, "if you're doing this wrong, you're gonna hurt yourself." So he's like, "go vegetarian, that's fine. When you get older, if you want to go vegan, do that." You know what I mean? Because at the time, to me, So I was vegetarian, basically. But a vegetarian to me in high school was like white rice with like soy sauce,
sure.
and like a bagel. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like
super simple.
No nutrition, but like no nutrition.
I got
all
you.
Carbs.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
Sure.
Like, I didn't really start eating like, I was a vegetarian that didn't like vegetables. You know what I mean? Like, when you're that young, you don't really know what you're doing. So, but I've been a vegan on and off. So
right.
I tell people I'm vegan-ish. Like for recent, like when I cook at home, it's always vegan. Sometimes you're out and it's like, there's not really a lot of things available. So my motto is perfect is the enemy of good. So as long as I'm trying my best, like my wife and I went to Italy with my family for 10 days. We're in the middle of nowhere, like countryside. Like if we were in Rome, probably be easy. But over there, it's like, they probably wouldn't even know what I was talking
sure.
about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I'm like, hey, is there any animal products in this? They'd be like, absolutely there is. You
right.
know, like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
between that and starving, I'm going to probably have some butter. You know what I mean? Like,
I hear
in
you,
those
man.
Instances.
Yeah. And you, like, you guys toured the world as Amberlin, I'm mm-hmm. talking about. You guys, like, toured the world. And that was one of my questions. Like, how was eating plant-based, like, going to so many countries versus, like, eating at home, like you said, you were cooking vegan.
It's difficult. I mean, depending on where you are. You know, I mean, if you're in the Philippines, like every dish, you know, even when they would tell them that I was vegetarian, it would be, you know, whatever, some like bok choy, but even the sauce it would be in would be a beef broth.
And or they, like fish sauce or something.
Yeah, they didn't really fully understand, like, no, I don't want any meat, like,
right.
at all. I don't want
right.
a touching meat. I don't, like, there'd be, like, bits of... Like, no, it's a vegetable. I'm like, yeah, but it's covered in like bits of beef.
Yeah, the pizza.
Depending on where you are, you know, like a lot of Asian countries were difficult, but even so, you know, like if you're in Japan, I can go to Subway and get a vegetable sandwich. Yeah,
especially
you know
these days, like Beyond Meat's like everywhere.
Now, yeah.
So it's like ridiculous, the options. Yeah. What are some of the benefits you have noticed though from, like, you've been doing this for a while, since 15, like, so what are some of the health benefits you've noticed since then?
It's hard because it's been, most of my life I haven't eaten meat, so it's hard to like kind of like differentiate. I don't even remember when I ate meat. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's hard for me to say what a major health change.
And you were so young, you probably didn't have health problems back then either.
No, but I don't know. Just we eat a very plant heavy, vegetable heavy diet, and I feel good all the time. Yeah, you know, I can tell the difference of when I eat a heavy meal and between when I eat a very clean, homemade, or even a vegan, you know, raw vegan meal if we go out or whatever. Like you can obviously, that's what's wild to me is like physically you can really feel a difference when you're eating a cleaner diet.
Definitely.
So, yeah, my wife is on and off. I mean, depending on what's going on in her own life. Right. But yeah, I've been a big influence on that. And that's, yeah,
we right on, man.
Vegan most of the time, vegetarian sometimes. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I got you. Do you guys do like mostly whole foods? It sounds like natural, like whole type of foods.
Usually a vegetable. Cooking at home would be, you know, raw veggies that we either cook them or bake them or whatever we want to do. Raw salads, sometimes mock meats, a lot of times seitans, tofus, tempehs. A lot of, you know, like you were saying, it's been interesting for me going vegetarian so young. Back then, you really only had like Boca burgers that tasted like cardboard back then. You know what I mean? Right. And like there was a, you know, maybe you could find some random... you know, maybe one or two vegan restaurants and some like Asian, you know, that were like vegan restaurants, but it wasn't like as commonplace as it is today. So it's been nice because now you can go out and I never want for anything. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really feel like I've ever like, cheating myself.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? It's like, it's not like difficult to eat this way. Like if anything, it's like, I really enjoy it.
Like a lot of people say it's a sacrifice to give up meat, but I mean, yeah, you're giving up meat, but you're eating a whole lot of other stuff too, like the veggies that you probably wouldn't eat before.
I think your palate changes over time. So that's been for myself. Like as I got older and started realizing that my diet was crap, like even though I was vegetarian, you know, like burritos and like drinking a 2 liter of soda, you know, like that's not a great lifestyle. So once I started like cleaning up and eating a lot more like fresh vegetables and that kind of thing, I just started noticing a difference, feeling better.
Right.
And like that's what I crave. Like, I don't, like, your palate changes over time, I guess is my point.
It definitely does. And I noticed it with myself, and I've heard a lot of people say that. Did you initially do it for health reasons back when you were 15, or did you do it for ethical?
So
or?
I did it because it was trendy.
For, like, in the rock scene. Yeah.
The straight edge hardcore. That was kind of why I initially did it. But then while I was in high school, I was in a class, and we were doing debates, basically, and I got to choose a topic. I chose to argue against animals for food, and someone else chose to argue for animals for food. Oh, wow. And so that was my first time actually researching it. Yeah. And I spent a lot of time. And for me, it was environmental, ethical for treatment of animals and health as well. So like, and literally it was hilarious because I totally crushed the dude that I was debating against. You can't really make an argument for other than like, I like the way it tastes. You know
what That's
I mean?
It.
I mean, some people can, you know, you've got the people that argue paleo diets, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But when you're arguing against a plant-based diet, you can't, there's not really an argument like this is a better way for you to live, you know? So really, you know, like that was really the only argument against my argument was, well, I like the way it tastes, you know? So, so after researching it, it was like, those things still ring true to me today, you know, it's ethical. When I went vegan here recently, cause like I said, I've been on and off.
Sure.
I watched, Earthlings. It's a vegan documentary. It's, narrated by Joaquin Phoenix. And I just like, that pushed me over the edge. Like, okay, well I'm going to, and at the time, like I wasn't really a milk drinker. I would eat eggs, you know, some cheese here and there, but that was the time where I was like, okay, I'm done for now. I was like, totally affected by that movie. I'm just like, oh man, I can't be a part of it.
Like once you see it, dude, like how can you unsee it? Right. Yeah. Like how
do you justify it?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm just like, well, that's just what I want. What's weird to me, or what's confusing to me, is when, as in a society, it's like, you know, we have certain animals that we hold treasure and hold so dear, you know, my dogs, my cats, it's like, but it's like, how do you justify, well, these ones are domesticated and we love them, but these ones are for food. Like, would you not say, You look at the, you know, the feast in China where they kill dogs, you know, people are in an uproar mm-hmm. about that, but you'll have no problem killing young cows or, right. you know, pigs, which are mm-hmm. actually more intelligent than dogs. Yes. And it's like, it's confusing to me. So
it's hypocritical for sure. Yeah. I think, you know, most of us have sympathy for a reason. I think it's there for a reason. And the way that, you know, you feel it when you watch these terrible videos of what happens in slaughterhouses, I think, you know, that's a sign. If not that, then your health, at least, or for the environment. But, you know, going back to the rock scene, like you said, which first got you into all of this stuff, have you noticed more people going vegan in the music scene? Any bands you can remember, or even any bands?
I know a lot of vegans, yeah, for sure. You know, yeah. It's always been prevalent in the music scene. Like yeah. I said, that's what influenced me
yeah.
was the hardcore scene. And I think it always comes from a very progressive place of, you know, and artists are generally pretty progressive. So in mm-hmm. a very, you know, art-centered world, you're going to have a lot of vegans. So
for sure.
In the music scene, yeah, for sure. The other guitar player from Amberlin, Joey, he was vegan for a while.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I know tons of different band guys that yeah. are vegan, that have been vegan or have turned vegan or, you know, just lifestyle changes. I'm an advocate for it.
Obviously, talking about your guys' music, you guys are very faith-based. A bunch of you are Christians, am I correct?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to read you a verse from the Bible. It's Genesis 1:29. Maybe you're familiar with. It says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be meat." And there's, you know, that's one example, but there's a bunch, like, biblically. Mm-hmm. The question is, do you think, like, veganism and Christianity, is there a connection? What is your opinion?
I think, you know, there's another part of the Bible, basically, I think it's in Genesis, where it's basically saying, I'm giving you, you're supposed to be stewards of this, of what I've given you. And when you look at what's happening on the planet, can you really make the argument, is this the best, when you look at animals for food, is this the way we should be treating them? These are living beings that mm-hmm. God has also created, you know, can you in your heart say that, yeah, well, that's just, you know, the ends justify the means, you know sure. what I mean? It's like, yeah. if someone will, I'm not an advocate for this, but I like, if someone goes fishing and catches a fish and eats that fish, it's like, that's not what I'm going to do, but I don't really have a problem with that. Yeah. If someone goes yeah. and hunts there for their food
yeah.
and kills something in the wild, it's like, but to treat an animal like it's just a piece of machinery mm-hmm. is very strange and counter to, I think, what, you know, it says a lot of times in the Bible. Right. So, you know.
And you know, there's like, thou shalt not kill, and like, what's, you know, how far, where do you draw the line? And you know, to me, like, these are living beings, and you know, Christianity or most religions, it's to serve others, right? To stand up for others. And at least my personal belief is, you know, you should protect those that are vulnerable.
I just think in this day and age, it's not necessary. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe before we were able to have the kind of variety that we have and the options and the technology to create the kind of mock meats that we have, or, you know, and some people might say, well, those are all very processed foods. Yeah. But when you really actually look at the ingredients, it's like, no, these are natural, all natural foods just put together into something that's very delicious and edible.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, it's hard for me to say. Really, the only argument you can make is that I just like it. You know what yeah. I mean? And that's yeah. just as a society that we've just accepted that that's just what we do. You know, you're raised eating meat instead of just like, well, and ever really thinking about it. Most people would never watch. I was an advocate. I posted about Earthlings. And I was like, you ever really want to, like, you ever thought about going vegan and watch this
yeah.
thing? Most people don't want to watch it. They don't, like, I don't want to know about that. And it's like, well, don't feel a little bit like nutty about that? Yeah. Like, oh, well, yeah. I'm fine with just eating it, but don't show me how it's made. It's just like, that's nuts to me.
It should almost be like a training video. Like, you know, like, you want to eat meat, you know, that's your decision, but at least, like, watch it. Like, at least know, like, what you're contributing to. And if that's a choice you want to make, that's on you, you sure. know, 100%. Have you seen The Game Changers, by the way?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man, so good. Like, I highly recommend watching that. Anyone listening, check out The Game Changers.
What is that?
So it's a documentary that was just released, and it goes into more of the fitness side, which I think is really cool.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. And I think that
I haven't watched it yet. I've seen the little.
Yeah, the title. Yeah. Dude, it's unbelievable. I mean, like, you have Olympic level athletes doing this stuff. I mean, you know, you've debunked like all the health stuff, like the environmental, the animal stuff. Now you got athletes doing it. I mean, it's like, you know, the argument for veganism is so strong. And yeah, that's another good one, man. Let's talk a little bit about your music. Can you tell me like what's your story? Like, how did you get into all this?
In middle school, I had some friends that, as like in middle school, I think is kind of when people are transitioning into really like deciding and like defining themselves a little more. Obviously, as you get, you know, you're always evolving. I'm still evolving, but definitely, that's the kind of time I think where you start really becoming on your own and defining who you are and what you like and what you don't like. So that was for me. I started getting into, I think before that, I didn't really, you know, listen to whatever my parents listened to. Because we're talking about you're a grade schooler, so can't really say you're musically savvy. But I started getting more into music, like alternative, grunge. Obviously, I'm from Seattle, so that was a big deal. Metal. And a good buddy of mine had moved from California, had long hair, was a big Metallica fan, got me listening to Metallica. He started a band in middle school, and I saw them play, and I was like, that's so cool. And so I wanted to start playing guitar. I think I played trumpet at the time, and I'd taken piano lessons. And my parents got me a guitar, and I just started playing. And that just kind of that set my foot on the path. I wanted to play Metallica songs. And then later in high school, formed a band, which was kind of like more of a new school punk band of what was going on back then. Mm-hmm. You know, your Pennywise and NoFX and Strung Out, all that kind of stuff. So me and my friends, we were all like into skateboarding and the new school punk scene, as well as everything. I was into everything, but that was the band we formed then. And then into college, just kept playing, and then joined Acceptance and just kept, you know,
went from there. Yeah. How about Amberlin? How'd you get connected with those guys?
So Acceptance broke up 2005, and then I moved to LA, where our manager lived. He was basically just like, hey, keep playing music. He's like, you can come down here and live with me for free. He's like, this is a much better, you know, if you want to keep playing music, LA is a better place to be. So the drummer from Acceptance and I moved to his house. We shared a room and like we had bunk beds. And we're trying to start a new band down there, but we're also hiring ourselves out as like songwriters and just like touring musicians. And then started working with an artist that had just been on a TV show. It was called Rockstar Supernova. It was with like Tommy Lee, Dave Navarro, Jason Newsted from Metallica. It was basically like a rock and roll American Idol. So they were auditioning a singer for a band they were starting.
Right.
I moved down to LA right when that ended. And all those people, the contestants that didn't win were looking, you know, they'd just been on TV in front of millions of people. So they were looking for songs. So I started working with a girl, her name was Delana, who I think got second place, and ended up doing some tours with her, writing some songs for her. And I was on a tour with Delana when Amberlin called me because they had kicked out a guitar player. They had just finished recording Cities and were about to go on tour for Cities, and they were looking for a touring guitar player. So they called me and I was on a tour. And so I said, hey, let me pray about it. Let me think about it for a couple of days. I'm already committed. And called them back in a couple of days and said, and talked to my, you know, Nick from Acceptance back in LA. I said, hey, Amberlin called me to fill in for a tour. I think I should do it. You know,
right.
But I was trying to start a band, but I was also touring with Delana. So I was just, you know, getting pulled. And so I decided to tour with Amberlin, did the Cities tour. A few weeks into that tour, we had just like meshed really well, the band and I. And so they were like, yo, do you just want to be in the band? And you know, I was in heaven at that point, you know, we really got along. It just really felt right.
Yeah.
So from then, I then was in there until the end of 2014, when we decided to kind of pull the plug there for about 5 years. And then Deanna and I started Loose Talk, keep the dream alive. And now here we are 5 years later, and Amberlin's back doing the thing. So
I love it, man.
Just keep one foot in front of the other, I guess.
So. Right on. Yeah, totally. And, you know, just talking about Amberlin, like you guys' lyrics, they're heavy, man. There's something there. You know, it hits a lot of strings. And I want to ask you a question. You know, what do you think the connection between music and mental health is? Or maybe you can talk about some of the experience that you guys have heard from fans coming up and sharing how your guys' music has affected their lives.
I mean, I don't even have to speak from that. I can speak from as a music fan, you know, and having music and certain songs help me, you know, everyone can relate to that. you know, like music is the soundtrack of your life, and it can help you in your, or it can be, you have songs that you associate with the best times in your life, or the songs that have helped you get through really hard times, or the songs that you associate with heartbreak. You know what I mean? There's like, there's certain songs that can take you right back to a specific moment in your life, you know, that I can relate to that, you know, and it's always been very humbling and just kind of like very gratifying to have other people share that with me, and to have that kind of like sense of like, oh my God, I've been that for someone else. Of what another artist has been for me, that's just like been so kind of mind blowing sometimes. It's just like, your songs have helped me through suicide or whatever, the loss of a loved one or whatever, or like we got married to your song Inevitable. Like that stuff is crazy, you know. How many weddings have I been to, or even my own wedding, the important songs that we chose, my wife and I chose for our wedding, you know, for someone to be like, no, you were our song. That's like, that's very humbling. You know, it's a beautiful thing. So
I love that. I love, and you'll listen to a song and it'll take you back to a certain moment in your life. And that alone, you know, is powerful. Beautiful. I want to talk to you about a documentary you were involved in, Who Killed or Saved the Music Industry. It was created by our mutual friend, Adam Russell, from Story of the Year. It's about how, anyone who's listening, how the music industry is essentially changing. And you guys, you know, you started what, early 2000s? So I want to ask you, you know, what are some ways you've seen the music industry change, and where do you see it going, if I may ask?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question, because I've kind of been right in the main transition of what it used to be to what it is becoming, because right when acceptance started, you know, becoming a little more prominent or getting signed, was right when the transition from into, you know, your Napsters and the internet and being able to stream music or download music. So that was the initial shift. My entire career has been around that shift in the music industry. And even now, you know, trying to start over with Loose Talk, it has been wild, because I know how we started a band when I was, you know, 22. There was a completely different scene, and just how you went about being a band. Now, starting over at almost 40, you just kind of look at, like, I'm now trying to learn, okay, well, how do I navigate this new music business? Like, how do I, you know, to me, it's like, what you used to do is just record songs, play local shows, start playing around the state, maybe going in. But it's like, there's not really a scene, and it, like, just a homegrown scene like there was. Like, when I was younger, I would go to the All Ages venue regardless of who was playing every weekend. That's just what I did. That's where my friends were going. We would just go to the show. Sometimes I wouldn't even know who was playing. You know, we would just go to hang out and like watch some music. You know, that doesn't really exist in the same capacity. And that's neither here nor there. I'm not making a judgment call on that, but it's just like the documentary and the point they were trying to make, it was valid, but it was also kind of like rallying against it, I think, at the time. You just gotta adapt. I mean, no one can. From the inception of the music industry, it worked a certain way. You know what I mean? Like, if you wanted to buy or listen to an artist, you had to pay for it. You know, you wanted to listen to a song, you had to buy a record, or you had to buy a single. Internet kind of like changed that whole game to where you could just download it if you wanted. And even now, the streaming services are better because people can pay, but you're only getting fractions of cents. So it has been hard. That was what was hard for Anne Berlin. That's kind of what led us to, you know, the point of us breaking up was that, like, most bands, the way your bread and butter, the way that you make a living and can support your family in this day and age, before it used to be you could sell records and you could tour this much, and that combination could allow you to have a job. Once you stopped selling records, that meant you had to be on the road a lot longer to make up for that lost money. So now, you know, that's, but when you're gone and now you're older and you have kids and you have a family, so it's like people are like, wait, in order to support my family, I now have to be away from my family all the time. And Steven wrote a song about it. It was Atonement. It's such a beauty. He says it beautifully in that song. But that's just kind of like a lot of bands reach that point now. I'm just like, okay, I'm making a living, but I'm also on the road 10 months out of the year. So it's still changing. I don't have a grasp on it. I'm trying to learn now. I'm actually taking like online music marketing courses now.
That's awesome.
For my own, just to like wrap my head around like advertising and Facebook and Instagram, all that kind of stuff.
Totally.
You know what I mean? So that's, you kind of have to be a little more savvy, especially because Loose Talk is completely DIY right now. It's just Dion and I. We do everything. We recorded ourselves. I send it to my buddy. He mixes it, all the artwork, everything we do ourselves. So, you know, if you're going to do that, then you need to kind of learn all the aspects of the music. So
it's almost like starting from scratch, I'm sure. Just like hustling, like learning, you know, new skills.
Well, I mean, not that we were spoiled, but we just had for so long in Anne Berlin, we had people do intermediaries, people that did that for us. My job in Anne Berlin was writing songs and touring, you know, luckily, I had that luxury of I could just focus on my art and then and focus on being on the road. And everyone else did the business stuff, you know, managers, booking agents, all your teams that you would, everyone at your label, your marketing department, everything, advertising, you know, people that were doing all that stuff. Now it's like when you are starting over, you don't have that. So it's been kind of a learning. It's been embarrassing, even sometimes talking like we were working with a local distribution company here in Tampa called Symphonic Distribution. They're a little more hands on than your typical digital distribution company. But on some phone calls, sometimes they'll ask me a question and I'm like, forgive me. It sounds hilarious because I've been in the industry for 20 years, but I don't know what you're talking about. Can you explain that to me? Because I was like, because I had other people doing that. I didn't need to do that. I didn't need to know that. Right. All I needed to know was when does the record need to be done and when are we going on tour? Right. You know? So definitely. It's been frustrating, but it's also been exciting at the same time because you eat what you kill. So, you become a savvy hunter then,
Yeah. So I think that's great advice for any struggling artist is just to keep learning, just to keep moving. Like you said, I mean, maybe the platform changes or maybe, you know, your position in the band or whatever creative you're doing changes and you have to take over a few more spots.
Regardless of what industry or whatever it is in your life, it's, you evolve or die sometimes. You can't just like hold on to the way things were, the way things used to be done. Right. You know, you got to adapt or die, you know, and sometimes people just complain about it. You know what I mean? Like,
trust me,
it's frustrating. When I think about like if Anne Berlin or Acceptance would have come out 5 years, 10 years before, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We would have sold tons of records. You know, I would have made, you know, people look at me, they go, oh my God, you were in Anne Berlin. I heard you on the radio. You must be so wealthy. And it's like, that's not the case.
Yeah.
That is not the case. But it's not even about money, but even the only, it's that impression that I don't care. I don't care whether I have a lot of money or not. It's when people just assume, I'm like, no, you were mistaken because it's not what it was. You know, maybe if it was in the 90s, yes, maybe you could say, they sold millions of records. But
the thing is, you should be paid though for your time because you're there, you're reporting to work, you're spending your time. And I can relate to this with my very, you know, my small YouTube channel. I'm, you know, I have 75,000 subs or somewhere around that area. And it's a misconception. People think that it's, you know, that translates to money, or I'll get like in this like little bubble where like, I'm like, oh man, that last video didn't get enough views. But then what's the other option? Quitting?
Right.
Like that's even worse. That'll cause me to go into depression. And I'm sure you feel that same way.
What you're saying though, is that without the struggle, the reward isn't the same. You know what I mean? Like,
because
even I think about like, I played last night. So we played here. The show was sold out. Loose Talk played down the street. There was maybe, you know, I think 80 people paid. And you know how humbling that is? Like the last actual live concert I played was in front of 2,000 people in Orlando.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, but it's like they're not the same. Loose Talk's not Anne Berlin. Like the sum is only equal to the whole is equal to the sum of its parts.
Right.
To expect Loose Talk, but I know that I have to build and I have to grind. And like when Loose Talk does have that success, I can say we friggin' fought for that. You know, it wasn't just like, oh, Anne Berlin ended, and then like because we were in Anne Berlin, like Loose Talk just took off.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that I would appreciate it the same way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You gotta, you know, you start over. It's something fresh, something new. And I really dig Loose Talks actually.
Thank you.
Dude, where can people find your music?
Yeah.
Like Anne Berlin, Acceptance, Loose Talk.
Any way that you digest music, you can find all of my artists. You can buy them, stream them. We're everywhere. So.
Yeah.
And all streaming sites, all places to buy music, you know, record stores, generally, you know,
and
go there.
And seriously, check these guys out and support them. Go on their website, buy the music. It keeps people like Christian, Steven, and all the other members going. And every dollar that you put down is a vote for the artist you believe in. So, dude, thank you so much,
man.
And it's been a pleasure. Let's do this again sometime.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming out.
Sick. Dude. Hey man,
nice.
Thank you.